Matthew chapter, thank you. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we'll be reading from verse 18. And as you turn there, you turn to Mark 16 as well, which will be our second text for the day. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Are you there? I'm sure it's a scripture that a lot of us know that we read a lot of times. Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, all authority, I'm reading from the New King James Version. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is Jesus speaking. Let me start from the beginning, actually, of that verse. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our second text is taken from Mark 16, verse 15. And that's easy to find. It's the last chapter in the book of Mark. Mark 16, from verse 15. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, he said, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, we thank you. I thank you once again for the privilege to stand in the presence of your people, O God. Even as I speak this morning, speak your word, O God. Let it come with power, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Principles of Kingdom Living, Part 3. Or if you want a second title, Understanding Your Authority. Understanding Your Authority. Amen. You know, we've been talking for the past 2-3 weeks or thereabouts about principles of kingdom living. And I've spent quite some time explaining one or two things. We started about 3 weeks ago. We spoke about having a heart of compassion. And I used the parable of the Good Samaritan to illustrate the talk about that. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at one of the principles of kingdom living, which is faith. Faith as a mustard seed. And I explained that all you need, as Jesus said, that all you need, that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, in the book of Matthew 17, he said that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll speak to this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. And he says nothing will be impossible for you. Amen? And this morning, I just want to continue along those lines and talk about one of the principles. Ideally, I was going to share about 2-3, but we won't be able to do that, so I'll just focus on one. But one of the principles that you need in your life as a Christian, and the key there is the principle of understanding your authority. Personally, I believe the scripture we just read that is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Can I have some volume on this, please? I can't hear myself well. I believe that the scripture that we read earlier that is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, I personally believe that it's one of the most important verses of scripture in the Bible. I believe strongly that it is very key for us as Christians to study that scripture, to understand it, and to imbibe it. And I'll tell you why I believe that it's one of the most important ones. Firstly, it is one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples before he was taken up into heaven. Now, this indicates that it is something close to his heart for it to be the sort of last instruction. In fact, it's the last word or words of Jesus in the book of Matthew that Matthew recorded. In Mark as well, Those were the last words that were recorded. Now, that indicates that it is something important, something close to the heart of Jesus. It is normally said that a person's last words tend to be words of wisdom, and they give an indication of what is important to them. Amen? Secondly, I believe that it is one of the most important scriptures because Jesus gave the disciples instructions just before he left. And that seemed to indicate that these are the things I want you to focus on after I go. Usually, when a man wants to die or leave, what does he do? He tells his children that do this, do this, do this. Basically telling them that these are the things that I want you to concentrate upon. If you look at the life of David, when he was about to die, when he was passing on the mantle to his son, he called Solomon and gave him certain instructions. And it's likewise the same way. Jesus told his disciples, who were like his spiritual children, these are the things that I want you to focus upon. Amen? And then thirdly, if you look at that scripture carefully, you'll find out that it actually summarizes the things Jesus did while he was on earth. If you study his life, the life of the Gospels, the life of Jesus, you'll find out that while he was on earth, he had authority. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the word. He delivered people. So it was a summary of what he came on earth to do. And because we are followers of Christ, the idea of what we should be doing is following in his footsteps. Amen. Am I making sense this morning? So it is for these three reasons that I want us to take a closer look at this word spoken by Jesus this morning. I believe that within these verses that we read earlier, that there are certain principles that we ought to incorporate into our life as Christians that we need to practice on a regular basis. That in our subconscious, you know, there are some things that you do without really thinking about it. For example, someone that drives, if you've been driving for long, when you want to press the brakes, you don't think about it that you want to. It's in your subconscious. You change the gear without thinking about it. It's just part of you. And the same way, I believe that these verses and the things I'll be sharing with you this morning, they should become part of your Christian life, your daily life, not something you even think about, but it should be in your subconscious because it is part of your walk as a Christian. Amen. Am I talking to you this morning? You need to encourage your pastor this morning. Amen. I believe that if we can understand some of the things I'll be talking about this morning, that I'll be sharing this morning and practice them, you will be more fruitful as a Christian. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, verse 18, that Jesus reminded his disciples that all authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth. Now, thank you. He has authority. He was saying that I have authority over everything on earth and in heaven. Now, if you look at Colossians 2, time will not permit us, Colossians 2, 15, we can actually see the display of that authority when the Bible says that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So it shows that he displayed the authority that had been given to him. He had the authority. When he was on earth, he had the authority. Before he came, he had the authority. He has all the authority. And the first principle, the principle that I will focus on this morning, because I won't be able to share everything, is that as a Christian, you have authority. Somebody say, I have authority. Now, your authority is as a Christian and nothing else. You see, your authority is not in yourself, but in Jesus. Jesus has delegated the authority to us as Christians. In the book of Psalm 115, verse 13 or thereabouts or 15, the Bible says something. It says, the heavens belongs to the Lord, to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, that means that he has handed the authority, has given us the keys to the earth, giving us the key that we should have the authority on earth here. Amen? Now, in the book of Matthew 16 that we read earlier, the Bible says, it says something there, Matthew 16, 17. It says that these signs, Matthew 16. Mark, I beg your pardon, thank you. Mark 16, verse 17. It says, these signs will follow those who believe.
So that says that those who are the believers, those that are Christians, those that believe in me, they can do these things that is stated there. And he went on to say that in my name, now the authority you have in the name of Jesus is one that you don't joke about. He said that in my name, and then he went on to say the things they will do in my name. So he was basically saying, I did this while I was on earth. But then for those that believe in me, in my name, in the authority that I have, because they believe in me, once they believe in me and they do it in my name, then they will cast out demons. They will heal illnesses and sicknesses. Amen? And then he went on, he said, they have authority over demons, over sickness, over diseases, over everything. In my name. You know, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says something. The Bible tells us that Jesus called his disciples together. He called them, and it says that he gave them power and authority. As a Christian, you have power and authority. You have power and authority. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But they'll show it on the screen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus told his disciples, he said something. He said, behold, I give you authority. He said, behold, I. Remember that we read earlier, Jesus said that all authority belongs to him. And then he said, behold, I give you authority. And then he went on to say, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh my goodness. If you understand the authority you have, you will realize that something should not be messing around with you. If you understand the authority you have, you will realize that you can make some pronouncements and they will come to pass. If you understand the authority you have, you will have an understanding that when you speak certain words based on the authority you have, just by saying in the name of Jesus, I command you or I bind you, I lose you, or whatever the case may be, depending on what the situation is, that thing, because you've said it, it will happen. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You see, I want you to understand something. That as a Christian, you have power. You have authority. But you know what the problem is? The problem is a lot of Christians do not know the authority they have in Christ. And the reality of the matter is, if you have authority and you do not know it, it is redundant. It's like a policeman that is in his uniform. He has the authority, he has the backing of Her Majesty. He has the backing of Scotland Yard that is in uniform, and then some thieves come and he's just standing there and looking, and they come and raid his house or something. They are not armed or anything. But because he does not know the authority, if he doesn't know the authority he has, he will be effectively redundant. And a lot of Christians do not know the authority they have. They are carrying authority within them. They already have the authority. They have the mantle that Jesus passed on to his disciples. But because they don't know the authority, they are not exercising what they should be exercising. Am I speaking to someone here? And sometimes, people are oppressed because they don't know the authority they have. You see, that's one problem. The second problem is that some Christians know they have authority but do not know how to use it. Sometimes we know we have the authority. You know, you've probably heard this message before. You may have heard that, so I have authority, I know that. But you don't know how to use it. And do you know what that is like? It's like a traffic policeman, a policeman that directs traffic at a junction. Now, if he's directing traffic at a junction, if he does not know how to use the authority he has, a car might hit him or they will ignore him. Now, when a policeman is directing traffic at a junction, he does not stand there and say, please, can you stop? Can you stop, please? I'm begging you, please don't go yet. Can you let the other car go? What does he do? He stands with authority. Stop. Come. Go. Listen to me. Some Christians, because you don't know the authority you have, when you go, when you want to speak, please, please, don't, please, can you go out of my house? Please go out of my. And if you have the authority, but you don't know how to use it, then you find out that you will be ignored. The things that should not be joking with you will be joking with you. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Listen to me. Time will not permit me. But I want you to understand that you have the authority to bind and loose. The book of Matthew 18 to 20 says something. It says there that assuredly I say to you, whatever, listen to that. It says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That tells me that if I declare that in the name of Jesus, you spirit, you foul spirit of fear, you spirit of, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of the life of maybe your children or whatever the case may be, or out of my life. That minute, because I have said it, that authority stands because of what the word says. You have the authority to bind and you can lose. You see, and I'll talk about the domains and the territory of your authority as well. But you see, you also have the authority to lose. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Is this too deep for a Sunday? You have authority to bind and loose. You have authority over your environment. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, 26, the Bible says something there. Genesis chapter 1, 26. The Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. He then said, let them have dominion. God said, let them have dominion. So he was saying that I have given you the authority. It says, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You have authority over your territory environment. You have the authority, if you are feeling depressed, to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus. Am I speaking to someone? If you wake up in the morning and you feel that there's a kind of whatever depression or depression around you, you have the authority to say, in the name of Jesus, I command this air right now and I take control of this atmosphere. Oh my goodness. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You have authority over every living thing. Psalm 8, verses 6 to 8. You see, I'm giving you these verses so that you can understand. Psalm 6, verses 6 to 8, says something. Let's look at it quickly. It says, this is talking about God, what God has done. It says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. That means over the things that he has created. Are you getting it? Psalm 8, verse 6. It says, over the works of your hands, you have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the path. He said, over all the works of your hands, you have made him to have dominion over them. Let's move on quickly. You have authority over spirits. Matthew 10:1 talks about that. We read it earlier. No, we didn't. Matthew 10:1. You have authority. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Did you notice that? It says he gave them power over unclean spirits. Listen to me. If this is the only thing you learn today, You need to understand that you have authority. You have authority over the situation in your life. You have authority over your marriage. If your marriage is going through a storm, you have the authority to take control of it. Listen to me. The Bible tells us that when there was a storm, Jesus took control of the storm, the situation. You have authority. If that is the only thing you understand today, you need to understand that I have authority in me. Say it, I have authority in me. You see, the authority you have is so powerful that when you exercise that authority, that heaven backs you up. That's why the Bible says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So that is the backing of heaven based on the authority you have in Jesus. Amen? You exercise the authority you have through the blood of Jesus and using the word. Let me just quickly talk about certain things that need to be in place. Because sometimes people have the authority. They try to exercise the authority, but because certain things are not in place in their life. And they will be like the children of Sceva. Jesus, I know. Peter, I know. But who are you? The Bible said that they beat at them, like my pastor says, and naked at them. But let me just quickly talk about the things that you need to understand. Because I want you to have understanding and revelation this morning. Because those are key principles of kingdom living. Listen to me. For some people, what I'm talking about might sound strange, it might sound spooky. But the reality is that everybody goes through a storm at one time or the other. Everybody, there's an evil day that tries to come your way. And if you cannot exercise the authority you have, the storm may overwhelm you. So it's very key that you have an understanding of these things. Amen? There are certain things that need to be in place in your life in order for this authority that you have to work for you. The first thing is that you yourself must be under authority. What do I mean by that? Your life must be fully submitted to God. Your life must be fully submitted to Jesus. You see, when you are not under the authority of Jesus Christ, then you cannot use his authority. You cannot try to exercise. Listen to me. Let's use the example of a policeman. Someone that is a policeman, no matter how unblemished their record may have been, if at some point in their life they start taking drugs and they get caught and they get removed from the police force, from that day on, they no longer have that authority. No longer are they submitted to the authority of the police force. Now, if they now try to go and exercise some authority that they used to exercise when their life was not submitted, they will be in trouble. So, in order to exercise the authority, your life, listen to me, your life must be fully submitted to God. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, the Bible talks about a centurion that came to meet Jesus from verse 8. And the centurion said something, or from verse 5, I think it is. The centurion said something. He said, my servant is ill. And Jesus said, I wanted to go. He said, no, you don't have to go. He said that you just need to speak the word. He said, me, myself, I'm under authority. And when I speak a word, those under me, they go. But the only reason why he can do something like that is because he's submitted to the authority above him. Does that make sense? Now, when you are not submitted to the authority above you, then what happens is that if you try to exercise authority, what will be asked of you is, based on what? The authority you are trying to exercise, what is this based on? And let me explain. Let me delve just slightly further. You see, The ultimate authority is the authority of Jesus Christ. But he has created things in such a way that he puts each person under the authority of a human being. Now, if you are not submitted to the person above you spiritually, you cannot say, oh, my ultimate submission is to Jesus. Am I making sense? That is why sometimes when people don't have anyone that is like a spiritual father over them, I feel sorry for them. And listen to me, it doesn't mean that, you see, if you study the Bible carefully, God places each person under the authority of somebody. Some people say, oh, it is Jesus I submit to. It's God. I agree. I don't dispute that. But Jesus would usually use somebody to give you spiritual cover. Is that making sense? And then sometimes, if the person you are submitted to, some people are submitted, they have a spiritual father, they are submitted. But if the spiritual father corrects them or says something, they go into rebellion. Or they move out and say, oh, listen to me. The minute you do that, you are no longer under the covering. So the first thing, in order to exercise the authority I'm talking about, is that you must be fully submitted. Amen? The second thing that needs to be in place in your life is the fact that, yes, you know your authority, you are fully submitted, you need to know the weapons at your disposal. If you have authority without knowing the power that goes with it, you cannot perform. You see, you need to know the weapons. Authority without power has no gravity. Your weapons, let me quickly talk about the weapons that you have. One of the key weapons that you have is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, listen to me. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, when the devil came to try to tempt Jesus, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is based on the Word that he resisted the devil. Listen to me, James chapter 4 verse 7, it says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, if you don't know that the Word of God is a weapon or you don't read your Bible, then when the devil comes, you say, please leave me alone. I rebuke you. You know, some people rebuke Satan. You can't. Oh, sorry, they bind Satan. You cannot bind Satan. You can rebuke him, but not bind him. You can bind the spirits, the demons, but the binding of Satan is something Jesus himself, am I going too deep? Is this too spooky for you guys? But when you don't know your word, then sometimes you hear somebody on TV saying it and you two start saying it. Or you hear pastor say, oh, I bind the spirits of whatever. And you think, oh, if they can bind spirits, you can do. And then some people, because you hear that your husband, they fight with you and you say, oh, I bind you are binding your husband. You don't bind human beings. Is this making sense? Amen. The Word of God is one key weapon. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 17, the Word of God is the sword of the spirits. You know, when he talks about the armor of God, he says, put on the full armor of God from Ephesians 6, 12. He says, put on the full armor of God, and he talks about he says, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That is one of the weapons that you have. That when you know the Word and you speak the Word in the name of Jesus, I speak to you. And you speak the Word. It is written. Amen? The Word of God has great power in it. Time will not permit me. Let's move on to. You see, when you speak the Word of God, what you are doing is you are speaking God's mind concerning that situation or concerning the incident. And the minute you speak it, because it is what God has spoken, it comes to pass. Amen. The second weapon you have, let me move quickly. The second weapon you have is prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, that is some serious weapon. Amen? Because of time. But you find out that Jesus, throughout his time on earth, was always praying. Throughout his time on earth, the Bible says he went to pray all night. There another situation, it says he went early in the morning before they all woke up. He went away to a quiet place to pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, was spending so much time praying, shouldn't you start thinking, why? There's a reason. He was communicating with God and downloading information. And you see, listen to me. Get this. What a lot of people don't realize is that in prayer, God gives you information on sometimes or information on what to do concerning situations. In prayer, He quickens a word, the Bible, a scripture verse in your spirit. And so prayer is a powerful weapon. Based on prayer, you can exercise serious authority. Let me move on quickly. Fasting as well. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 9:29, he said, this kind cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Fasting gets you closer to God. It makes you more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Another weapon you have is the name of Jesus. When you say, in the name of Jesus, my goodness, angels arise. They get into action. They alert. Hey, what's happening? That's a child of God saying, in the name. Oh, my goodness. Am I making sense this morning? The name of Jesus is another powerful weapon that you have. You see, when you can understand the power in the name of Jesus and you can speak it with authority, with understanding, you'll find out that if you are in a situation, I remember I was reading a magazine. I was reading a magazine that had testimonies from the country where I come from, Nigeria. And let me first talk about the one about praying in the spirit. And the gentleman gave a testimony. He said that he was kidnapped by ritual people or whatever the case may be. And he lost his senses. And, but because he prays normally, he said that because he prays normally, and that the Holy Spirit wakes him up at 2 every morning, at 2 o'clock, he was just awake. He didn't know how he got to the place in the forest and things. And when he awoke, he saw people and he was like strange. But all he wanted to do was pray like he normally does. And then he said he started praying and wanted to go out and start praying. And one of the crazy people that kidnapped him wanted to stop him. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm praying. The guy said, you can't go. And just continue praying. He said, after some time, the guy just, go. And that's how he survived what could have happened. Through praying. Amen? Now, the name of Jesus. That's another one. Lastly, praise and worship is another authority that you have. Another weapon. So I'm talking about knowing the weapons that you have. Amen? Are you learning something this morning? Last thing, because of time, that I'll have the time to share, is in order for you to exercise the authority you have, you need to understand the boundaries of your authority. You can have authority, but there are boundaries. Let me use a scenario. A British policeman, no matter what position, even the chief inspector, what's his name? Ian Blair, the chief commissioner of police, Ian Blair. You know, he's like the ultimate, most senior police officer in this country. And he has a lot of authority. Now, if he goes on holiday and goes to America and tries to make an arrest, now, do you think anybody will listen to him? Himself will be arrested. Why? Because he has gone out of the boundary of the authority given to him. And likewise, the same way, as a Christian, once you step out of the boundary, or if you break the hedge, what happens is that the authority that you have, if you try to exercise it outside the boundary, what happens is you yourself, you cannot exercise the authority. Now, what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about understanding the authority. You see, if you can begin to exercise the authority that you have, you speak and declare, begin to make declarations concerning your life. If you can understand the authority you have, listen to me. Christians can be oppressed, but a true Christian should not be demon-possessed. There's a difference. Possessed means that they've taken possession of the spirit. Oppressed means that maybe the body, you know, the spirit body, and they are different. So they can be. Now, as a Christian, you should not even be oppressed. As a Christian, the authority you have, you can determine what happens in your house, in your home. As a Christian, you can determine what happens in the life of your children. Because God has given you authority as their parents. As a Christian, you can determine what happens in your workplace. Now, let me put a clause there. You don't go around claiming what's not yours. Or trying to, because that's going into manipulation and witchcraft. But I'm talking about things that are in line with the word of God. Or that God may have spoken to you that you know definitely this is the will of God. Am I making sense? As a Christian, listen to me. You know, at the moment, there's a lot of news about the economic situation. And the truth of the matter is, yes, we are part of the economy. You know, we are part of this world. Or we are in this world, if I use that word. But as a Christian, you can be making declarations concerning your job, your career, your profession, your business, so that financially, although it's affecting everyone around you, it will not touch you. Is this making sense? Now, in order for you to be fruitful like God wants us to be, we need to begin to exercise the authority. Can I ask us to rise up to our feet?